All right. Welcome, everybody, to the first ever episode of Screen Champs. This is a podcast. I'm the host, Dubs. I'm here with my co-host, the Madman Moan.
What's going on, brother?
What's happening, man? All right. So we are here to talk to you guys about movie, TV, and really whatever the hell we want to talk about. We got a lot going on here, a lot we want to discuss. And so I think for our first show, it's important, more than anything, to kind of give you guys our mission statement. Let you know why we're here. We want to get it out of the way, introduce ourselves a little bit, and then we can move on to the other stuff. So I, myself, am a movie fanatic. And, you know, quarantine has been a weird time for everyone. And I've been diving into a lot of podcasts. And although movies and TV are my favorite thing in the world, I have not found a podcast about this content that really speaks to me and my voice. So after doing the TTG show, which is the tailgate show, follow them on Twitter. I think it's TTG underscore show, which is a fantasy football show. Me, the Madman, and a couple of our friends do. We've been doing it 3 days a week, and it's kind of shown like that it's possible to do this. It's possible to like take this time and put out content. And it's always seemed like, oh, this would be a good idea, but it's never something we actually did before. And once you start doing it, you kind of have that realization like, oh, I can do this, you know?
Yeah. I mean, definitely when Dubs hit me up wanting to do this, we've been doing this for years, except you haven't listened to it because we've been doing it in parking lots at movie theaters. We've been doing it at bars because I love talking. I love movies. I love talking about movies. And Dubs was like, you know what? Let's put this energy into a show. We're doing a football show 3 times a week. I'm pretty sure we could do this. And I said, you know what, brother? You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
And here we are, man. It's beautiful.
Yeah, man. It really is. And you know what's funny is that I think there's a part of podcasting where, like, it is and it isn't, where everyone's like, oh, bro, easiest thing in the world. You know, just, you know, pocket, you sit there and talk for. And it's not that it's hard. I'm not saying anything we've done to get to this point was hard at all. You know, you do have to prep. You know, these things don't just happen automatically. And the other thing about conversation, and although I think the conversations we've had just in our life are great conversations, they're fun conversations, they would not translate necessarily to this medium. So you actually have to prepare a little bit, which I was shocked by. I was like, with preparation?
Yeah,
like, prepare. What do you mean?
What?
I'm a funny guy. Don't you just want to hear me talk? But there's like a little more to it than that. But I mean, more about, you know, the voice. I think that most movie podcasts, you know, kind of fall into two categories here. They're either, you know, just recapping. They're like, oh, today we're going to rewatch, you know, Jaws 1970, and which is great. You know, there's no shade to Jaws whatsoever. But
yeah,
I'm not, you know, it's the middle of a pandemic right now. I'm not taking an hour and a half to listen to a dissection of Jaws, which has already happened 1,000 times, when there's stuff going on right now. And
yeah,
the other thing is that there's a lot of people that they talk about modern stuff, but it seems to be geared more towards, you know, nerd culture, you know, comic book stuff, you know, like Star Wars kind of things, you know, things like that, which, again, don't really speak to me. I know they don't, you know, necessarily speak to you as well. And so, you know, we're kind of like thirsty for this content that's not really out there. And I'm sure some people are like, well, what about this podcast? And they're probably doing the same thing we're doing. But I didn't see it, you know, so.
Yeah, and they also don't have the Madman on.
So. They don't have the Madman on. So, you know, I think it's been a long time coming. I'm excited to get it going. This first episode, I'm so excited to do it. What's going to be more exciting is if we record a second one. That's when it's like, hey, the wheels are moving. Like, things are actually happening.
There you go. There
but,
you
yeah, go. So. Let's get right into it here. You know, first things first, this is a question that I find very interesting, but I don't think anyone else actually cares about. And I say that because I've asked numerous people and no one's ever asked me, but what was your relationship with like movies and TV growing up? Like as a kid, you know, like was it a big part of your life? Was it kind of a background thing? Like how did that play into your reality?
I gotcha. I mean, for me, growing up especially, there was not a lot of money to go around. So I didn't really go to movie theaters, you know, like as a kid. I do remember watching movies, and it was like the VHS tapes that I had like in my room. One of them was for sure James and the Giant Peach. I saw that movie so many times.
Classic.
I think the race car driver that we had to rewind that, you know, the VHS is back in the day. You had to slide it in and do the whole rewind. I think I blew up like three of them because of how much I watched that movie. And I definitely remember seeing like, I think it was like a Toy Story, or it might have been like a Nickelodeon, might have been Rugrats. I think it was like a Rugrats movie. And I think remember the Titans,
okay.
And, which just got me ready for school. I'm like, yeah. I'm gonna be the best. I'm gonna be awesome. Denzel told me so. And then there was a few times where like, the youngest uncle in my family would take me out to some movies. So that's how I got like to watch like Mighty Morphin Power Rangers or like the Yu-Gi-Oh movie, I think, or things like that.
Yeah.
Because he was also the youngest one in the family. So he was like, oh, I want to do this.
Yeah.
And I'm going to take my little nephew out. And I cried every time.
Yeah. I mean,
I went on many trips.
Did you ever see, like things with him that you wouldn't have been able to see normally? I feel like sometimes the uncle wants to, like, corrupt,
Oh, no. It was always those. He was a good uncle, bro. Like, he definitely didn't take me to see, like... Seven or like
okay,
he didn't take me to see those type of movies. I think because he was he was kind of a young in the family and
yeah.
And all my my dad and like my uncles, they're all like rather drinking, so they'd rather go to the party than to watch a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, hey, sign me up for movie popcorn, yada yada yada. And so for me it was like Disneyland, going out to the movie theater.
Yeah,
it felt like an experience, and so I was all about it growing up. And it's like that thing where you're like coming to age, you're growing up, you're kind of now what music you like, you're like, hey, I like Linkin Park, I like rock,
yeah.
And I'm like, oh, okay, I kind of like these indie movies. And I remember in high school we saw Juno. I was all about it. Fell in love with it. Oh yeah, because there's also music, and the soundtrack that was in that movie really made the movie. And mm-hmm. I was like, oh, every movie needs to have a soundtrack, it just needs to have it. And I kind of gravitated towards those films. My favorite movie, Fire Days of Summer, it's got a great soundtrack, and it also has a really good score. And that's where I'm figuring out, okay, now not only does the movie have a great soundtrack, it also has a good score,
Mm-hmm.
And then I just started diving in. Then I got hired at AMC. Now I'm watching any movie, giving anything a shot, and, falling more in love to the type of films that I liked, which was like the slower, indie, some comedy, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And also just, coming-of-age stories.
Yeah.
Oh, so it was a beautiful relationship that I got. It definitely grew, and it grew with me.
I mean, for me, it's kind of different. I grew up in a movie family for sure. So we were Thanksgiving, Christmas, always at the theater. When I was off summers and my mom would be working, there was a like mom and pop, like not a Blockbuster, but a mom and pop video store, like in biking distance of my house. I used to go down there. I literally had a handwritten note, my mom, to the owner, saying I was allowed to like rent whatever I wanted. And I used to look at the backs of movies and just find like the most like rated R for and whatever, terrible things were there. Those are the ones I wanted.
It's like a forged note.
Yeah.
It's like you paid some bum, like, hey, dude, can you just write this for me?
Oh, no, it was a totally legit note. I feel terrible because it's like my mom trusted me, like, hey, here's great power. And I was like, I'm going to abuse this power when I saw American History X, when I saw Fight Club, like, those are both movies that I rented simply because they were rated R for so many different things. And I was just like, I need all this. So, movies were, they were around my house all the time. They were also, I guess, maybe a little bit of rebellion for me as well in a weird way. And, I've just, but I've always loved it. I've always attributed it to moments. I feel like I've learned from movies for better or worse. People might be like, well, damn, that's why, that's why you're messed up, maybe. But I think that I just think that, just like a song could bring you back to, somewhere 10 years ago where you were, and it bring you back in a moment just by hearing, just a beat, a chord, whatever. Movies can kind of do that same thing and bring you back to a moment or, the time you went or the person you watched it with and what was going on around you at that time, how you felt. And it's just, I don't know, it's just a special medium. That's kind of, that's a little bit about us. What's your favorite, coming of age movies? You say your favorite kind of movies?
Coming of age movies, 80s movies. I mean, I didn't see them in the 80s. I wasn't around. Definitely once I figured out what I kind of like.
John Hughes fanatic.
John Hughes, bro. Yeah. John Hughes. Say Anything. Great movie, man. Great movie. He's got his radio, and it's just a just a good. So all those, you know, all the Breakfast Club, you know,
yeah.
Even License to Drive, which it's a little funny, but you know, like all those movies coming of age, pretty much these coming of age, I'm gonna love it. If something's 80s, I'm gonna love it
for sure.
And if something has a great soundtrack, I'm gonna be all about it. I'm gonna purchase the soundtrack. I have the 500 Days of Summer vinyl.
Okay,
I was like so into it. Now it's expensive, so you might see it on eBay. But
hot commodity.
But yeah, man. I mean, those are my jam.
I would say for me, I'm a big. I do tend to like dramas, specifically like dramas that fall into like the thriller category. Like a thriller drama is great for me. Like, and then I love comedies, but I haven't. I feel like I haven't loved a comedy lately, like really loved one in a long time, yeah, which makes me very sad. Hard
to find.
I don't know if I'm just cynical or they're not funny, but I mean, there's some that, you know, you laugh at, but I'm not buying it, you know, bringing it home. So, you know, I'm excited too for this podcast because as we've been doing a little research here and there, I'm so much more in tune with the movies and kind of what's coming out, especially with all the streaming services and all they got going on. It is, there is a ton of stuff out there to watch. A ton.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of it, supposedly, is good. So I'm excited to take part in that. The show, we're going to talk about some just some what's new, you know, some stuff we looked up. This is by no means an exhaustive list of things. It was just a couple of stuff we saw that we thought, hey, let's talk about this. We're going to talk a little bit about Adam Sandler, his Netflix movies. We both watched Hubie Halloween, so you don't have to. And we're going to we're going to review Becky, which is a movie that, well, came out mid-pandemic, but I'd never heard of it, and a little video on demand thing, and we also watched that. And it was interesting, to say the least. I'm excited to talk about it and kind of get your take on it. So without further ado, let's do some screen champs. First and foremost, and here we go. So this is a testament to the fact that we're not going to only talk about movies. This is probably the most passionate thing I'm going to talk about this whole episode. The Challenge, MTV's The Challenge, season 36, starting December 9th. Please watch the show. It's good.
Oh, yeah. I like, man, I'm such a big, I'm so happy Dubs got me back into it. I remember watching it growing up on TV and just having it on. So I remember like, Johnny Bananas, like first season or something. Like,
yeah.
I remember watching like all that stuff. And then I kind of stopped. I totally forgot about the storylines, or I just started watching a lot of coming of age movies. And I just was not watching it no more.
Yeah.
And until like the last like three seasons, I think I've watched it, and it's just so funny. And it's like the editing is so great too.
It's
like, I'm like literally texting Dubs like, this guy's gonna go home, right? And then he doesn't. I'm like, stupid editing.
Yeah, every time.
I totally thought this was gonna happen. What was I thinking? You know,
it's like a Law and Order editing. Like whoever you think the killer is, like, you know, like 15 minutes in, it's like, oh, bro, check the time. Like, there's no way.
And I'm surprised every time. I'm like, oh, they got me again.
You got me again, MTV. Oh, you're geniuses. You know, the challenge started in 1998. Well, that was the challenge was previously the Real World Road Rules Challenge.
Yeah.
1998. So there's I would say a 95% chance that anyone listening to this has consumed the challenge at some point. You know, like whether it was, I mean, for me, I was never, you know, watching them, like had them DVR'd or anything like that. But there was many like a Saturdays where I'm just sitting in front of the TV doing nothing because you're, you know, a kid, and MTV is like, we're going to show, you know, every episode of Teen Mom today, or we're going to show every episode of The Challenge. And so, you know, you end up watching like a season and a half of The Challenge just because that's all they're airing on TV. Now they only show Wild and Out, unfortunately, or not Wild and Out. What's it called? Ridiculousness, which is insane.
What Rob Deere did. I don't know what ritual or how many goats he had to kill for him to get this lifelong contract.
Bro, it is insane, dude. It is insane. And what's crazy is like, oh man, this is the only place I'm going to say this, but it's kind of funny. Like it is, you know, it's like the lowest common denominator of comedy, you know, but it's funny. Like it can be.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I would watch AFV, America's Funniest Videos, and that's gone, I think. Now it's just ridiculous.
Oh, my gosh. Is that like the new America's Funniest Home Videos? It's just Rob Dyrdek making terrible puns? Oh, my God.
Yeah, with like, and we have 2 Chainz today. All right, 2 Chainz. I know you have 2 Chainz in the name. Yeah. I only see one on you. What's up with that? And he's like, yeah, but you got the gold. It's like a big old freaking and metal.
And it leads into a video segment. These guys are off the chain. And it's like, oh.
Yeah, it's people just falling off their bikes, no health insurance. Like. Yeah.
So that's wild. And that actually reminds me of something I want to say. Because I just said ridiculous, this was funny. There's two things, actually. One, this is a safe space. We're all friends here. Yeah. And number two, I reserve the right to change my mind anytime, for any reason, no matter what. You know, movies and stuff, you know, you watch them once and sometimes you don't really get it. Maybe it doesn't click, or maybe you see more in it than it deserves to even be seen. You know, but either way, I'm just saying, officially, first episode here, I reserve the right to change my mind at any time.
There you go. So that's going to be the audience. They're like, yeah, man, we watched the challenge and it sucked. And it's like episode two. They're going to be like, hey, big fan of Fessy. Love Big T as well.
Oh, gosh, Big T. And what you guys really aren't ready for is if Floribama Shore ever comes back, this podcast will essentially be just a hour-long Floribama Shore recap.
Yeah. Because that show is off the rails. It's just they need to sign all those people and to be on the challenge.
Oh, yeah.
Because those guys are maniacs.
Oh, they had Gus.
Yeah, he was on one season of the challenge, right?
He didn't do very well. He was, like, oddly quiet and stuff. But, yeah, I feel like he was an alpha male in Floribama Shore. And then they put him in the challenge, and he was like, I am not the alpha here. And so the last thing I'll say about the challenge, just kind of a testament. If you were, you know, 13 years old on one of those random Saturdays watching every episode of a season, like, people like Anissa, Wes, CT, like, they're still there. Or Darrell, they're still there. Darrell. Like, they're going to be on this season. You may just, like, pick up where you left off. Like, CT. I feel like everyone knows CT. Everyone knows Wes. Like, they're going to be there. Giant Bananas won't be there this season, but it's worth a watch. Definitely check it out.
Ashley, right? Ashley, too.
Oh, yeah. Ashley Mitchell. She's not that much of an OG, but, yeah, she'll be there.
I mean, that's definitely how I, when I came back in, it was an easy transition because the same people were still on.
So OG, it's like, wait, I was like, I've seen this like, season before. It's like, no.
I was
no.
like, yeah, I've seen this one, right? And they're like, no, you haven't seen it. No, it's CT. He carries Johnny Bananas on his back, right? They're like, no, that happened like 8 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, oh, for sure.
It's a little thing. So next, let's see, we got the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air reunion. That's actually, I mean, by the time this podcast comes out, that will have aired already, so we'll talk about it on the next one. First things first, rest in peace, Uncle Phil. Recipes, James Avery. For real. Yeah.
Oh, man.
I know. It's it's killer. I'm so excited. There's probably, I would say, like a 97% chance that I shed a tear whenever they do whatever they're going to do for James Avery in this episode because.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I feel like just one of the few, like, universally respected people. I don't think he's been canceled for anything. He's Uncle Phil.
Uncle Phil. I mean, he is your uncle.
Yeah.
Like, you knew him.
Yeah.
And when I saw the little promo, little trailer that they put out for it, I mean, I just got a little emotional.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah,
I was like, man, they got Uncle Phil in here. They're like, he's essentially the heart of the show. I was like, all right, man.
Yeah.
I didn't know I was going to be crying in this trailer. I just, you know, I'm eating chips, watching TV, and, you know, they just throw this on. Yeah, hit me in my feels, man.
They're giving a lot to us.
I'm excited to see whatever they do in the reunion. You know, because is it a reunion or is it a...
It is a reunion. So they are, I mean, I'm pretty sure they kind of rebuilt the set and they're kind of sitting there just talking. I know they're doing one-off interviews with everyone. I know the old, the original Aunt Viv comes out at one point because she had beef with like Will Smith. And
I seen some some Twitter tweet. It's like, hey, we got Aunt Viv back. Like, we ready.
We did it. And the other thing about that, and, you know, we'll see when it comes. I was shocked that it was only on the air for 6 years. If you would ask me how long Fresh Prince was on, I know Friends was like 10 years. So that's long. I would have said like 9 years. Like, it's, you know, because Friends was such a big deal for 10. So I'd be like, all right, 9. Because I feel like it was on for my whole life. And I looked at some other TV shows when I was kids. They were not on that long. I don't know what it is. It's a Mandela effect.
I think maybe because after Fresh Prince, we went straight into like the Men in Black movies and pretty much every movie. Like, I think Will Smith was just, like, handling movies, like, every year.
Just did it.
And so we just went straight into that.
So it's like, we've essentially been seeing, like, Fresh Prince, like, since, you know, like, everything that comes out, it's like, oh, Fresh Prince, you know, the sequel, Fresh Prince, Men in Black. Like it.
Angry Fresh Prince, you know, Bad Boys.
Fresh Prince, Bad Boys. Oh,
yeah.
No one would like that. You're not supposed to do that. How long do you think Even Stevens, how many seasons did Even Stevens have?
Oh, I'm gonna hit you with that strong seven.
Three seasons? Yeah, but that's what I'm telling you. It's the crazy shit.
Even like the seventh season, I thought it was gonna be like a shortened, like eight episodes. So yeah. Just wrap up
the storylines.
Yeah. Just the storylines.
Storylines of Even
whatever
Stevens.
Whatever they had. Yeah. Three seasons? Jeez.
Three seasons. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know.
Is it because every season is like 50-some episodes?
No, so there's 65 episodes. So, I mean, they're big. Okay. You know, there's definitely 25, you know, or 20-something episodes. So there's a lot, but damn, man. Like, I would have guessed a lot more.
That's crazy. Three is nuts.
Yeah. Let's see. So next, Wonder Woman just released that they are releasing in theaters and HBO Max at the same time. So if you pick up HBO Max for Fresh Prince of Bel-Air Reunion, you will also be able to watch Wonder Woman 84.
There we go.
Yeah. So this will be both on Christmas. I think the, you know, interesting thing here is that AMC Theaters has stated they're going to play the movie and they're going to take a larger cut of the box office for people that are coming in. So if you guys have followed the trend with movie theaters at all, you'll know when Trolls attempted to do something very similar, AMC Theaters tried to burn Universal to the ground. Yeah, and
they got into it.
Yeah, it didn't go great.
It felt like an old rat beef.
Yeah.
it was pretty gnarly.
So it's so rappy. I just started imagining things, and then
it's like Lil Wayne and Birdman or something. It was intense, dude.
Yeah.
They were sending like hate tweets.
It was wild. Like we were always
on the social media.
Yeah. All over Trolls, you know? Like it's just man.
I know, like Trolls will tour, right? come on.
It's just a cute little movie. I just want to make some money.
Think of the kids.
but right now Cinemark hasn't said anything. And Regal, Regal's closed still, so they're just they're chilling,
dude.
Yeah,
it's closed.
Like we're not dealing with any of that.
They're eating all the expired candies.
Yeah, oh, man,
we're gonna vibe out real quick.
So next we got Pieces of a Woman. Did you watch this trailer? Right,
I did. I didn't know it was happening until you told me about it, and I looked it up, and it's got the perfect remedy for a Madman Moan film.
Okay.
What's you're that? Like thinking Madman, like, oh, this, it's probably explosions. It's probably, you know, fire, maybe a little nudie scene. That's not for the Madman. That's Papa Madman. That's okay. For my dad. Like, my dad would be all over that.
All right.
I like any movie with Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah.
I like any movie with a good little score. So whatever is playing in that trailer,
yeah, it does it for you.
In
yeah,
oh yeah, dude. And there was a little mystery. I'm like, oh dang, what's going on here? You know, like,
yeah.
And I feel like the movie is cold. Like, hopefully that makes sense. Like looking at the trailer, it feels like very cold. Like you need a jacket to watch this film.
Oh man,
I think it's a little heavy.
It does.
I think it's a little heavy, and I think they definitely want you to feel like, hey, this is supposed to be a little uncomfortable, you know, so get your jacket on and get ready.
Well, I mean, the synopsis is a grieving woman embarks on an emotional journey after the loss of her baby. So, I mean, cold, yeah. I was, when I saw this trailer, I immediately thought, oh my gosh, dude, this movie's going to kill me. And, you know, normally I'm pretty apathetic just about things in general, but there's something... Yeah. I'm not sure exactly what part of the dynamic it is, but it's something about there's like a couple. There's two people that like in theory are happy, and then they have a kid on the way, and then they lose that kid, and then all of a sudden these two people, through no fault of their own, like are like, you know, they're tearing apart, and that's like that just stresses me out for some reason. And
it's just that trailer.
I mean, cold, freezing cold. Like I think I'm gonna die watching it. But that's it's gotten
awkward. Awkward movie theater cleanup. Ah, dude,
this guy's dead. He's, Jesus. I'm sure he's asleep. Like, no, no, no. He's frozen. He's frozen to death.
They're like, wake him up. I'm going to touch that. Yeah, no.
I'm going to get picked up for this.
I got
another
house to clean in 3 minutes. I got to get out.
But it's already won at some festivals, got some wins. And so Netflix picked it up. It's coming out January 7th. Netflix is trying to win some awards, bro. Like, I, you know, they, this is, they want all the smoke because I think they see, like, the, you know, all, you know, theaters are closed, studios are moving movies back, and woo-woo. Netflix is like, bro, we'll show you everything. And it's a big duality, and we'll talk more about Adam Sandler later because they've invested so much in, like, these Adam Sandler movies.
Yeah, but they were good.
They want to win. They want it all. And this movie clearly looks like Oscar bait. You know, it, hopefully it's good. You know, hopefully it's not just bait. Yeah, Netflix, they're ready for war.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully my boy Shia gets some sort of a nomination or something. You know,
yeah.
Because it seems like there's a lot riding on this. Seems like they've already won some stuff.
Yeah.
And Netflix, they're trying to get in that game.
They want it bad, dude.
I think they had one movie that was nominated, right? And that's the first time that anyone...
I think Roma was nominated. They may have had a couple others that got nominated for different little things here and there. But, I mean, they're trying, like, to get Best Picture. They want Best Picture.
They're not trying to dip their toes. They're trying to take that Michael Phelps dive into there, huh?
Oh, yeah. No, they want it all, man. And I think Roma won... I mean, they've definitely won Academy Awards. Netflix has. But they want Best Picture. Like, they want the big one. We also watched another trailer here. What'd you think of Songbird?
Songbird. This is the makings for my dad. Like, my dad would love this movie.
Okay.
Because it almost seems like a movie The Rock should be in. You know, like, because it starts, like the whole trailer, it's, you know, they're playing Bob Marley, Three Little Birds.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, don't worry, dun-dun-dun-dun, bad a thing. Mm. And you see, like, just... things are destroyed. They're like, and then boom, plot twist. It's like the COVID, 23 has mutated, and you're like, oh damn, like this is not what I thought was gonna happen, you know?
No.
And then the rest of the trailer is just like stress out vibes.
Yeah, just
because we're going through this a little bit, but I had no, I was at a loss for words.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, this is happening. I was like, all right.
Yeah, and so just to be clear to anyone listening, if you haven't heard of Songbird, it's coming out December 11th, so not too long from now. It is a movie about a pandemic that ravages the world in 2022. Society's falling apart. The disease that's causing the pandemic is COVID-23, so we're almost there. People are pissed about this movie. They are not happy. So I watched the trailer on YouTube, and generally, you know, my personality is when people are mad, I'm kind of like, ha, 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 ha. Even if I understand why they're mad and I agree that they're mad, I'm just like, all right, guys, but chill out. You know, don't be so crazy. So that's just, and I don't know what it is. I don't know what broke in me that caused me to be that way. So when everyone's pissed about this movie, I'm just like, you guys are silly. But the writer director, he's Adam Mason. I had no idea who this guy was. And so I looked him up. And first of all, if you look up Adam Mason right now, there's a probably 75% chance you're going to see a picture of like a sweaty, clearly coked out like white guy, you know, and is like late 30s, early 40s, like probably had a healthy trust fund, you know, pays for companionship, you know, just high strung, yells, probably breaks a lot of things throughout his day. Like the picture gave me that vibe. I'm sure he's a good guy. Some of the movies, he's great.
I mean,
he's a great guy.
I mean, he definitely looks like he just woke up from a binge.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. 100%.
When you're talking about breaking things, you're right on the nail with that. But also like breaking stuff and just kind of like, you know, like just like, not knowing what he did or like, just like he has all this like weird released, you know, like unreleased energy.
Yeah. Like he has like a lot of he has a lot of like morning cigarettes where he's just like sitting there like, just leave me alone, man, just leave me alone.
Yeah, you guys don't understand. No one in the room.
and so
he definitely looks like the guy that would make this movie.
Oh no, 100%. And some of the other movies that he's directed are, this is just some of the titles, some of the more ridiculous titles, but there's quite a few. Dust, Broken, Blood River, Pig, Luster, Junkie, Hangman. And these are all kind of these low-budget horror movies that, you know, have terrible reviews. Like, no one's watching them, but somehow someone's giving this guy money. That's why I'm assuming trust fund. You know, but people on YouTube are so upset at Adam Mason And I'm like, you guys, we can't get mad at the guy who made Blood River and Pig.
Pig, you know, Pig was the one that got him for sure. Like they, someone saw Pig and was like, "We need to get this man."
Yeah,
like,
we need. He made Pig, guys. He made Pig. And so here's some of the YouTube comments. But most likely, what's coming if we don't resist now? All caps. This is Biden's dark winter coming. See.
There you go.
This looks more like a mass global demon possession than a pandemic, and God is the answer to resolve this. 17 days to make this when the average movie takes 2 years. This movie was obviously being made a long time ago. Sick mothers.
You put that in
there. Yes. I don't know. Let's see. Predictive programming, huh? They're trying to trick the universal law of free will by showing us their evil plans through the entertainment industry. And with our silence, we give them the permission to go ahead and manifest this. However, a lot of people are waking up, meaning their plans are doomed. Rise and unite people. The guy made Pig, Madman.
Yeah. That guy that said the comment is definitely he's definitely going through some stuff. He's just using this this YouTube comment thread as a way to
and talk so about yeah it. No, so these people, and these are like real. This is what's crazy.
He said rise and unite people.
Rise and unite. What's crazy is that the now I'm not saying the movie's not tasteless. It's tasteless as shit. I can't believe they fucking made it. It's insane. Like, don't get me wrong. It's the guy who made Pig, though. You know. So. What the fuck? And because these comments are not too off from what you see in like normal political discourse in 2020. And so when I'm reading this, I'm like, Jesus. And so, but here's the difference between Pig and Songbird. It's that Michael Bay is producing. So they got some money behind it. So Adam Mason, off a binge, looking for his next drug fix, doesn't know what's going on. But he's like, oh, COVID-19, dude, we got to make a movie right now. Dude, no one's going to do this. Why? Because it's tasteless as hell. Why would anyone do this? We're going to do it. We're going to make, I don't know, whatever small amount of money they make off these movies. And we'll just make just enough to make another shitty movie. Yeah, let's do it. And he, you know, he's talking to his partners. They're getting stuff together. And then Michael Bay walks in. He's like, oh, shit, dude. Yeah, we're going to buy that. We'll give you some money. And then Mason's like, oh, I mean, sweet. You know, like, let's do it.
The money now?
Yeah.
Get a little down.
Surprise, because they made this movie. I mean, it took them, apparently, well, according to this comment, 17 days to make this movie. I'm definitely not a conspiracy theorist, as you can tell. But if there is a plan, if COVID, if there was like, if Hollywood was planning a COVID movie before this all happened, and this is that movie, it wouldn't be directed by Adam Mason, because he made Pig.
Yeah, unless they have him as a fall guy. Like,
hey, he's the fall guy. No one would expect it.
Once we get ruined, let's just blame everything on Mason.
Yeah, the first email we get is going to be like, you guys are sheep. This is why they'll always win. And people keep saying they. Who's they?
Yeah, who's they?
I don't know. But rise it can't up. Be the guy I'm that up. Made Pig. And so I'm
standing
just,
up, brother.
Yeah. It's just, I just want people to know that if you're upset about this movie, that's fair. Because, again, it's tasteless as hell. Totally understand. Yeah. But
I totally get it.
If you think it's deeper than a stupid movie... The guy made the movie Pig, and that's all I have to say about that. So, that's all. Do you have any thoughts on that? I mean, you can.
Oh no, I think I. You're like, I mean, he made Pig.
He guys. Made Pig. Yes.
There's no way in heck you're. I'm saying this is like a movie for my dad, not because he's gonna enjoy it, just because he just likes having it on.
Just a little action. There's nothing wrong with that. And here's the other thing too. If you think it's tasteless, that's fair. We're not gonna shame people who want to. I'm gonna watch Songbird. Believe that. I'm going to watch this movie. Greg Robinson's in it. I like Greg Robinson. Yeah. I'm watching it. And
says that old dude from
every Michael Bay movie. Yeah. I don't know his name, but like when you see him, you'll be like, oh, it's like the Michael Bay guy in all the movies.
Oh, hey, that's good for him.
Yeah.
Like, he made a movie in the pandemic.
And it's great. You know, someone's gotta get paid. And so the last piece of news is also Michael Bay news. And it's just interesting because it's just funny how one actor attached to a movie can kind of elevate the movie itself. So Michael Bay is in talks to direct a movie called Ambulance, which is based on a Danish film called Ambulance. And they haven't released an official synopsis, but the Danish film synopsis is that it's a psychological thriller and there's three rules. The entire film must take place in one location. The story must be in real time, and there must be only four characters on the ride. So, I mean, Michael Bay in no way has to follow those rules, but that's kind of like the vibe that this movie's going for. It's like a psychological thriller. These guys rob a bank to get money for their parents' surgery, and they rob it, or they steal an ambulance as a getaway car, and it kind of goes from there. The tagline, I didn't write it down here, but it just made me laugh when I read it. It was, "You don't steal an ambulance," or something like that. And it just cracked me up. Wait, let me look it up just to make sure I'm not getting it wrong, because it was just so...
That's hilarious.
It was just so funny. And it's not an American movie, so I'm sure like it translated to something better or sounded better at the time. But here I go. Look at it when I read it. Just,
is this a comedy?
Yeah. Taglines. "You don't steal an ambulance." Exclamation point. Like, that's it. And you don't.
That must suck, huh? if you're in it, like, hurt, and these freaking goons just steal it. They're like, "We gotta get this money to our moms."
Yeah.
They're like, "Well, can you drop me off, dude? I'm like really bleeding here."
Yeah. And I believe in the Danish movie, there's a guy like that they're working on. They're like trying to save someone, and you know, it all falls apart. But
he dies.
So you hear this movie, you hear Michael Bay, you know, the guy who threw money behind Songbird, and you're like, "Oh." But Michael Bay has made good movies, you know, so we'll give him that. Like, Pain and Gain was dope, and not many more. Yeah. But
I like the first Transformers.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. The first Transformers is great. Great movie.
Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah, we love Shia LaBeouf in this house. But then Jake Gyllenhaal is in talks to play one of the characters in this movie. And then you hear that, and all of a sudden you're like, "Oh, this could be a great movie." Like, all of a sudden, Jake Gyllenhaal's involved. This could be, like, awesome. Yeah. I don't. Does it have that effect with you when you hear Gyllenhaal? Does he hold that place in your heart?
Oh, absolutely. I feel like he always makes every movie better.
Yeah.
I feel like I saw Prisoners not because of Hugh Jackman, but because of him.
Yeah.
Because I was interested to see what he's gonna do in it.
Oh, Prisoners is so good, bro.
It's always like a wild card that you get from Jake Gyllenhaal because I feel like he doesn't sleep very well. You know, I feel like he only gets like about like 2 hours of sleep. Like every like 3 days,
yeah,
because he's just ready to go. Yeah, you know, they're like, "Hey, we need you." He's like, "Okay, I will go. I will." Like, "What am I playing?" And they're like, "Oh, you're kind of playing this weird psychological guy with, like, you know, just dark eyes." And you're like, "Okay, great. I am ready. When do you need me to come in?" They're like, "Oh, no, dude, we're gonna do this like in 3 months." He's like, "I will be ready then." Yeah. You know,
it's like, "I won't sleep until that moment."
Yeah, I get so excited every time I see him in a movie.
Yeah.
It's so great.
100%. So, I mean, there's not much news for that movie, but I just thought it was so interesting how, like, I'm like, "Oh, Michael Bay's ambulance? Ugh." And I'm like, "Jake Gyllenhaal? Oh, never mind. That's great." And for people that like Jake Gyllenhaal, there are currently 8 projects on IMDb that he's attached to that have not come out yet. So he is
busy. That's what I'm telling you, bro.
He doesn't sleep,
bro. They're like giving him jobs. And he's like, "Okay, when will this be made?" They're like, "Oh, we're not too sure." "Okay, great. I will be ready." He has like 9 of them lined up, bro. He's just chilling.
He's ready to go. I mean, yeah, so that concludes our little news segment. We'll be looking stuff up. If some of this is old news to you, if you are a movie fanatic, you're like, "Oh, bro, I saw that trailer for Pieces of a Woman or whatever months ago." It's like, well, you know, it's our first show. We're still getting back into it. Next week's will be.
We're also not into nerd culture. Yeah. Nerd, you know?
We love nerds. I love nerds. I like the
candy nerds.
I just you're not. Into
some nerds?
Here's the thing. It's my parents' fault. Because no one that ever raised me, none of the many people that raised me, like Star Wars, Indiana Jones, or comic books did kind of fall in a little bit, but like those were not things. So I just didn't get exposed. It's not my fault. It's the way I was raised, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Dubs, it's not your fault.
Thanks, man.
Not your fault, buddy.
Thank you. Thank you. Rest in peace, Robin Williams. All right. Hubie, I feel like this little segment came up, and this is not the first time that people have talked about Adam Sandler and the fact that his movies are shitty, because it's a common theme. But Hubie Halloween was on Netflix. I watched it with intent. So when I turned the movie on, I immediately, before I turned it on, I said, "Okay, let me just remove every thought of this movie's going to suck out of my head." Like, I went in, like, pure of heart. I wanted to like the movie. I was going to try to like the movie. I have not watched any of the Adam Sandler comedies that have come out recently. I mean, I did watch like 100% Fresh, which is awesome. But I didn't watch any of the, you know, just the movies that are clearly like the Adam Sandler shitty Netflix movies. I haven't watched them. So Hubie Halloween, pure mind, pure heart, taking away all cynicism. I go to attempt to like the movie, and I liked it a little bit. I did like it a little bit. I didn't love it, but I liked it a little bit. What are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I mean, I think I like Adam Sandler, and I just like seeing him.
Okay.
Yeah. And, yeah, like watching the movie was a little weird.
Okay.
It was a little weird. I feel like I screwed up. I should have watched it, like, on Halloween Day or something like that.
Yeah.
Just get more into the mood.
Sure.
There was some good stuff. I like all the kind of like the practical stuff. Like I like him on his bike was great. I think there was a certain scene where he was on his bike and he like jumped off and the bike just kept going.
Yeah.
And I thought that was rad. And then this town sucks, dude. They hate him so much. Yeah. They're throwing like whatever they can. There was a moment they threw like a cinder block at him. And I was like, if that would have hit him, like it would have been the end of the movie. Like he would have been severely injured, you know. But so that's, you know, I like that. And I was honestly very impressed with the accent that he maintained throughout the whole movie.
Okay, so you were impressed by that? You didn't find it?
I was impressed.
Like, at what point is that going to be just offensive?
He's done it, like, in Little Nicky, he sounded weird, right?
Yeah.
Like, if I remember.
Oh, no, it's very Adam Sandler. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you should be offended. I'm just like when it first started, I was like, wait, is this like okay? Like, is this all right? Like, is this okay? He's just going to do it for sure. Like, I'm on board. You know, look, I think part of the charm of Adam Sandler, for better or worse, is that he has been relatively consistent to an extent.
Yeah.
Like I think a big theme of this movie was anti-bullying, and that was done by relentless bullying for physical appearance, for, you know, his little his speech. They just make fun of him, laugh straight into his face, like hardcore laughing. You know, those are things that, you know, even to the extent they do it, those don't get done anymore. There's Adam Sandler just running around doing his little goofy voice, and hey, good for him.
It was also impressive that Ray Liotta was in there.
Yeah, Ray Liotta, like one of the bullies.
Yeah, I hate him. Yeah, one of the bullies, and he got his coworker to bully him.
Yeah.
Like, what's up with that?
He just sit there cracking up at him. It's insane. Look, part of this is because, you know, Adam Sandler, the reason we have to talk about these movies is because they are wildly popular on the Netflix platform. They do so well. And so Netflix released that Netflix users have watched more than 2 billion hours of Adam Sandler content. The most popular movie.
That's a lot of Hubie Halloween.
Yeah, dude. The most popular movie of 2019 was Murder Mystery, an Adam Sandler movie with Jennifer Aniston. Netflix just released Hubie Halloween like last month, and it's already the most popular movie of 2020. The beginning of this year, Netflix entered a third contract with Sandler for 4 movies, and they paid him $275 million. So he's going to end up doing 12 movies for Netflix. I think he's done.
That's insane.
He's done 6 to 8. I don't know. There's some. He's done
That's
some.
So
you
insane.
Know? And that includes like 100% Fresh is one of the movies he did, which was awesome. Again, so just feel the need to say that. If you haven't seen 100% Fresh, go see it. It's great. And also don't think part of this discussion is Adam Sandler a good actor? I think that's kind of set in stone that he is a good actor. I don't think that is even up for debate.
Yeah.
The question is, did we change or did he change? Like, what do you think?
Ooh, that's a good one. It's weird.
So when this movie started, I was so happy I started watching it because it immediately starts with Ben Stiller reprising his role from Happy Gilmore of just like the crazy person at the old folks home. And you know, and he even says a line from the movie, and I'm just like, yes, like it's. I'm so glad I turned this on. You know, this is it. This is why we do movie podcasts. And you know, I was all happy, and I was like, this is great. And then the movie starts, and you know, Adam Sandler hits you with the little voice, and I'm like, okay, you know, and everyone hates him, and everyone's making fun of him, and then I see the mom's shirt, and it says, God, what did it say? Boner donor, which for me, look, I. I know some people may not enjoy that humor. When I saw that lady wearing the boner donor shirt, I started cracking up, and I was like, solid, and that's funny. And that's a little, you know, so I do enjoy some sophomore humor for sure, especially because he's like, what is that shirt? And she's like, oh, you know, it's a boner, like when you make a mistake, which then leads to him making a mistake later in the movie and apologizing for his boner, which, you know, of course, people react to. That's comedy. I'm not here to go against this. There's about 6 or 7 shirts in that movie that are solid. Probably some of the top 15 jokes in the movie. So I'm not hating on the shirts.
I mean, it was definitely fun to see. And then you're like, oh, Adam Sandler, like, of course you're gonna do this. Like, this is this is great. This is funny. That's why I don't think he's changed. I don't think he has, because even when he does something a little bit serious, he's over here doing Hubie Halloween. You know, like, and he enjoys it. He has a great time, and he still has all his boys in the movie. You know, they're all like stoked when, you know, like,
yeah.
Rob Schneider, as soon as he saw that, like, oh, extended 12 movies, you know, like, he's like, oh, dude, I'm in. You know, Kevin James is like, oh, bro, I'm back. You know, I'm going to get paid a little bit more, too, because I'm Kevin James. So I don't think he's changed. I think I've changed.
Interesting.
Over here wanting to see him do more serious things. Like, Uncut Gems, I thought was so, like, whoa.
That's incredible. A
movie, you know?
It's incredible.
And then I feel like not like I had to like Hubie Halloween. I feel like I had to appreciate it because, you know, if I didn't, I'm just dissing Adam Sandler. And you have to remember your beginnings. You got to remember the Water Boys. You got to remember the Little Nickies, you know, like, which were not great movies, you know, but I enjoyed it, you know, so much when I was growing up, you know. And I feel like you got to remember your beginnings. You got to appreciate it a little bit. So I'm happy he did it. I'm very happy that he put that throwing up scene, which was I was like, this is a whoa. Yeah. I was like, this is
that's
a lot of throw up. I was like, that's a lot of throw up. Yeah. I said, thank you for the eggs, you know, blah. I'm, I'm like, whoa, this is there we go.
I'm like laughing right now, but I hated it.
It's like 4 minutes in. It's like it really sets the tone, like, to how the movie's gonna go.
Doesn't he say like Rocky Balboa too, right before he like chugs it?
I think, it's something just weird. That was a good one.
Stupid.
That was a good little
one. Little egg gag. Yeah, he did. I hate vomit gags. I hate shit gags. I just can't stand them. But it now, was a lot. But it then was hearing a lot, you do the voice though, for some reason, I'm like laughing about it. So,
and you forget they're throwing stuff. They threw those eggs at him.
They threw everything.
You happen to catch him in his little magical canister that apparently does everything.
The canister plays. The canister plays. Yeah, the canister is funny as hell because it was doing everything. It was everything. Yeah.
I was waiting for the moment where it turned into a bong, and you never did.
No, it's a kids' movie.
A little upset,
Well, boner donor, but it's a kid's movie. you know, it's a little things. All right, see, I think I was going to agree with you, but then I started thinking about, all right, so there's two things I'm going to say. One, I don't necessarily think that these movies lost their charm once they got to Netflix. I think some of the comedies were losing their charm before the Netflix deal and everything, and Netflix is just kind of like this end part of it. But I think that there's, you know, because, and then I was thinking too, well, I was a kid, but it's not like kids were the only one that liked Adam Sandler movies. Like, people loved Adam Sandler movies. Like, Happy Gilmore, I would argue, is a universally loved movie. And The Wedding Singer with, Drew Barrymore is like a universally loved movie. Like, these are solid, like, set in stone comedies. The side characters are still, I mean, I haven't watched Happy Gilmore in a long time, but Wedding Singer, the side characters are just as ridiculous as they are in the movies now.
Yeah.
But I think the movie as a whole is not nearly as ridiculous. But those side characters, they still are crazy. I like Pixels. I wasn't a big fan of Pixels.
I remember seeing it and was like,
Blended.
But see, not a fan. I didn't see Blended either. I was because that's the one with Drew Barrymore.
Yeah, right?
Where it was like a 50 Days. Wait, shoot, what's the name of that movie?
50 First Dates is a different 50 First one. Dates. Yeah.
And so I remember that poster, and I remember like, I'm gonna get this poster, and I never did. I was like, I don't think I'm gonna watch the movie. I think you do have a point, but I'm just going to go with the take where you kind of have to appreciate your beginnings, and he hasn't changed. When I saw 100% Fresh, I'm gonna be honest with you, it like saved my idea, okay, my thought,
for sure,
my thought of Adam Sandler, because I was like, all right, dude, like, because those grown up movies, I did not see those movies.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan.
And then, yeah, and so I was like, oh man, I guess this is just what he's doing now. You know, it pays.
Yeah.
And then he did 100% Fresh. And then you're watching this, and it's like in different little, you know, comedy venues. And so you're like, oh, this guy is still the same dude.
Yeah.
You know? And he does funny voices in that one too.
He does. He does.
Yeah. And then, and so I think that kind of saved, you know, kind of me thinking that, you know.
I mean, fair enough. And look, again, that's why, I mean, I did want to take that off the table. Like, this is no hate to Adam Sandler. I still love Adam Sandler because he just recently did Uncut Gems. 100% Fresh is probably, I mean, I don't want to put necessarily a top five, a top 10 on it even recently, but it's a solid comedy special. It is so funny. It's so good. I feel like you can watch it with anyone. And that, like,
yeah, let's do it.
Phone Wallet Keys or whatever, that whole song, like, bro, it's just. It just plays. It plays. It almost felt like
I'm the slow motion man from the crosswalk. I was like, what is he doing, dude?
It felt like it had a little bit of the vibe of a Bo Burnham special. I think it's partly because of the singing. You know, it's not a Bo Burnham special for sure, but it just kind of gave me those vibes with some of those songs and stuff. These movies aren't as good. They're just not. I don't know what else to say. So the thing that confuses me and that, you know, I was thinking about is then why are they so popular? Because it's not like, oh, they're really popular. It's like they're the most popular. 2 billion hours of content. The most popular movie of 2020 is Hubie Halloween.
It's kind of.
And the pandemic has been going on since March, you know, like where that was like the big shutdown and everything. And I would have assumed Tiger King or something. But no, Hubie Halloween is taking over 2020. That's more than just, this is like, oh, some people get it, some people don't. Like, it's, and I think it's Netflix's fault that these movies are now being accepted because.
That's a hot take.
Netflix, and I thought about Kevin Hart, who has released a couple of specials theatrically, and I've had no interest in watching them in theaters, and I'll watch anything in theaters. But these specials, no interest whatsoever. The minute they go on Netflix, I'm turning that special on right away. Like, oh, sweet, new Kevin Hart. Ooh, like, and I'm excited. Like, I'll stop what I'm doing to watch the special.
I get that.
But when it's in theaters, not even a second thought. And I think that, now, for me, I hadn't been turning on those Adam Sandler movies. But they're, I mean, it must be hitting people with that just familiarity. It's like, you know, everyone wants to start a new show, but we just keep rewatching The Office instead. Like, there's a certain aspect of like, oh, Adam Sandler, I know this is going to be a stupid ass movie. I can just go on like Instagram and go through my Instagram feed and turn this on in the background, laugh a couple times, and then say, oh yeah, movie is whatever. And I think that has to be what people are doing, because there's no way that people are like just sitting around, like, you know, like families are sitting there watching these movies together. This has to be like a background, like, you know, thing.
Just filler.
And they're missing the jokes, because the boner donor joke, like that was a visual gag. If you're scrolling Instagram, you're missing the best joke in the movie. So, and there were some other ones like Muff Diving School, solid, hilarious. You know, that's good comedy. But I think it's the Netflix platform. You don't want anything new. You don't want anything heavy. And there's been 1,000 times where there's like a show that's supposed to be good and that's getting great reviews that I just avoid completely. And I'm just going to rewatch New Girl, you know, because I don't want to think about anything. And Adam Sandler is the epitome of that. He's essentially remaking the same movie over and over. I mean, some of the posters are interchangeable. And because you're on Netflix, you're like, oh, I don't give a shit. Let me rewatch The Office watch this new Adam Sandler movie.
Yeah. I think this is going to save us here because is every Adam Sandler movie available on Netflix or just kind of like the newer ones?
Just the newer ones.
See, so that blows my mind. Because I'm over here thinking like, oh, maybe it's like, you know, we saw when he was, because Adam Sandler's been in our lives for so long, you know.
Yeah.
Like, so long, you know, and, you know, in our parents' lives and stuff. And then it's like, we grow up and then it's like, oh, okay, now we're going back to it. And, you know, I'm sure there's people out there that saw it when they were growing up and now they have like kids and stuff. And they're like, hey, let me just, hey, we're going to teach you guys about Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
You know? But, like, I'm over here thinking maybe they're doing that with, like, the older film's plot twists.
I don't, well, look, I mean,
they're
I
know doing it with, like, Hubie Halloween.
That they're, I know that they have had, yeah, damn. I know they've had movies, like, at points, you know, so, I mean, I think other movies, I mean, they're not owned by Netflix, so, you know, they've definitely had some, like, in circulation, and, you know, I'm sure the Waterboy, I think the Waterboy's been on there. I think I've watched the Waterboy on Netflix, and.
Yeah, if it's on there, I'm going to watch it tonight.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's definitely some.
Contribute more to this 2 billion hours.
And, watch. And Uncut Gems is definitely on there, too. And, you know, so.
I've seen that a lot.
Oh, it's so good. So there's, I mean, there's movies. There's other movies that aren't those ones. But, man, I just, you know, I don't want to. I think when I came into this, I was ready to make excuses for them. But I think it's just the platform. People just don't want heavy on Netflix. They do sometimes, and you can get it sometimes, but generally people just don't want heavy on Netflix. I think that's what it is, and that's the reason they're so popular, because I don't know if these movies would play in theaters. They might, and I think, because there's a difference between grown-ups and, like, Hubie Halloween. You know, there just is, and so.
Hubie Halloween, though, it didn't feel like so much as a movie. It felt like a SNL special or something like that. That was like, hey, join us on Saturday Night Live, but before it, we're gonna show you guys a 30-minute little Adam Sandler thing. That's kind of what it felt like. And then, you're like, oh no, this is a whole ass movie.
You're just goofing around. So the good news is, I was looking at the IMDb right now. Sandler is filming a movie right now called Hustle.
Okay,
and it doesn't have a genre, but it's about a basketball scout who sees a player in China and feels like he can use that player to help the scout himself get back into the good graces of, like, the NBA and get around that area. So it doesn't feel like a comedy. It's starring Robert Duvall and Ben Foster as well. So we're getting a good little drama.
What's Ben Foster doing? Ben Foster's a goon. Like, what is he going to portray, like, this guy's abusive older brother? Or, like,
yeah,
what,
Ben Foster. Like, it's so funny you said abusive older brother, because when someone says Ben Foster, I only think Ben Foster and Alpha Dog, of him just insanely drugged out, like screaming, but also, like, knows, like, karate, and he's just, like, kicking shit and, like, fucking people up. That is the only Ben Foster.
He's also taking shit on the carpet. Like, he's also, like, and you're like, that's an actor.
Yeah, Alpha Dog is insane, and that is the only Ben Foster that I visualize in my head. That being said, I'm ready for that, at least a small dose, in every single movie I watch, so I'm cool with that.
I'm okay with a little bit of crazy Ben Foster in it, but I always get a little nervous, because I'm like, well, what's this guy going to do? Because it's kind of a loose cannon.
Yeah, I've seen him shit on the floor. He's
probably a very nice, calm guy. Probably drinks a lot of tea.
Oh, gosh, I know, right? Man, those blood vessels popping out of his, man, he stresses me out in Alpha Dog, dude. Especially because everyone else is so chill. Like, the whole time Justin Timberlake said, hey, bro, it's all good. And
I know.
Yeah. Well, whatever. All right. So, to our review, we watched the movie Becky. The synopsis here is a teenager's weekend at a lake house with her father takes a turn for the worse when a group of convicts wreaks havoc on their lives. The director, I didn't even put the director's name in here, but it's the same one that did Cooties in 2014, which I didn't watch, but I think we both said we wanted to watch. So I just threw it in there. And
I don't know what I was doing in 2014, but I wasn't watching that.
Yeah, I remember wanting to. Yeah, I remember, like, right when I saw Cooties, I was like, oh, I wanted to see that. Then Rotten Tomatoes score, 72. Audience score, 57%. Let's see.
Do you usually follow Dubs? Do you usually do you follow the audience score more or the Rotten Tomatoes score more?
I would say that I'm actually a huge proponent. I don't know if we want to get into it right now. I mean, we can, but I love the Rotten Tomatoes score. I think, like, if you read it, I feel like you can get a lot of, like, good info out of it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's like, just because the high percentage doesn't mean people were giving it a high rating specifically. It just means that 68% of people liked it more than they didn't. But it could still be, like, an 80% where 80% of people gave it a 6 out of 10, you know? So there's stuff like that. And there's also, you know, people say Rotten Tomatoes is wrong. And I mean, one of my favorite instances is Grandma's Boy. I think it's like a 14% or something super low on Rotten Tomatoes. But if you read the reviews, you know, now we're talking about Happy Madison movie, but the reviews for Grandma's Boy are like, oh, you know, juvenile humor, gross. And I'm like, oh, well, I love juvenile humor. So that's great. So sometimes you can read a negative review, see the things they're complaining about, and be like, oh, those are some of my favorite things that you hate right now. So, yeah, it just depends. But I like the critic score. generally more.
Yeah.
They're, the only time there's indie movies scares me because there's quite a few indie movies that stay in the 90s, like, no matter what. And yeah, I see the audience score, like, hopping around, like, a 50. And I'm like, okay, this shit is boring. I already know. Yeah, this is a boring-ass movie. Don't try and trick me, Rotten Tomatoes. I know this is boring. Sense. This is a movie. This is essentially not even a movie. It's just a picture with some, you know, like, oh, look, it's so beautiful. No, it's boring. Movies can't be boring. They have to be entertaining. So
yeah, there we go.
Yeah. So indie movies, I get a little weary of. Everything else, I like the critic score generally. What about you?
Just killing the madman, brother.
Yeah, are you? Like, you're big.
I love indies. Yeah, I'm a big indies guy.
Oh, no, I mean, hey, I love indies. I just, when I see those scores and it's like 97% and then the audience score is like 50%, I'm like, oh, this is a boring movie. I know it's boring.
Yeah, I generally sway the same way. Generally, it's because that's a kind of big drop right there. That's like 20-something percent.
Yeah, you know? And I know, like, all right, you know, next time I see a movie like that, I'll use it as an example. I'll pull it up because I feel like I see it quite a bit where I'm like, oh, dang, this is getting good reviews. And I see the audience and I'm like, never mind. I'm good. Yeah. I mean, I'll still watch it, but I'm ready for it to be boring. There's a difference between a slow burn and just a boring-ass movie. And I'm not trying to watch no boring-ass movie. You know what I'm saying?
I know. You're like, give me that slow burn.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
But I will say this for the movie Becky, and I'd love to get your thoughts on it here, but this was not a boring-ass movie.
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know what, there's a little, I know we talked about Adam Sandler, so there's a little connection. Kevin James is in the movie.
Yes.
And he is a Nazi maniac.
Yes.
And the young girl that's in it, Lulu Wilson, I don't know what much she's done. You know, I think she's done a couple of horror films here, it looks like. So she's definitely, like, in that field, you know?
Yeah.
And they're praising her. They're saying that she is, like, just so, so great in the movie. And it's got my boy, or your boy, Joe Miguel, who has the same name as does in Community.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Joe Miguel. Big guy. Well, yeah, Jeff. Jeff Winger in Community. I don't know his last name in this, but when they called him Jeff, I was like, oh, it's a little on the nose, guys.
Yeah. You're like, oh, this is a weird sequel to Community.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it was definitely. I mean, from the beginning, I loved the title where it says Becky. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of cool little colors. And
yeah,
little
it drawings. Feels very like 80s or just very like VHS-y. Like,
yeah. Definitely. I was like, oh, okay, for sure. I'm. And then you immediately get into a prison fight.
Yeah.
And her getting bullied. It's like little parallels. I was like, what's going on here? Jesus.
And because now, look, if I was watching this any other time, I wouldn't have thought twice about it. But because I was watching it specifically to review it on here, I'm like, wait, what does this mean? Like, you know, she gets thrown down and then they're in the prison. Is she in prison? Is it a prison of, you know, I'm like, this movie's all surface. There's no deeper meaning here. But
yeah, no, I think,
but I was like, I was trying to read into it hard.
No, and I love that you said that because, you know, while I'm watching the movie, you know, after I'm doing my own research.
Yeah.
And I read this whole thread, and I'm not going to get into it, but one thing that stuck with me, it's like, look, guys, I think we're just looking way too into this movie. Like, I think this is not their intention at all. I think they were just kind of lazy. And, you know, like, there might have been some things that they didn't really clarify because they didn't really feel like they need to. And then people are like, oh, no, it definitely meets this, you know, because, you know, because I saw it, and I thought it, and now we're all going to talk about it. But, no, it was it was a good movie. I enjoyed it. You know, I mean, it was a little intense. I feel like, you know, Kevin James' acting was just so great. Yeah, it was like I enjoyed it because he definitely makes me feel comfortable. You know, like, he's a funny actor. He's a funny guy, and even in his kind of serious roles, like, he was able to kind of like handle it. You know, and I thought him and Lulu was kind of cool. What, you got some thoughts on Kevin James?
Well, no, I mean, look, I would, if I were to talk about the acting in this movie, I mean, I guess, you know, Lulu did well. I mean, she got this script when she was 11. Like, that's when she read the script. So, you know, she plays a 13-year-old in the movie. So it makes sense. Like, she's super young. So just in that note, good for her, because It's hard. Yeah. I've quote unquote acted in a couple things. It is hard to do, you know. And so for a 13-year-old, you know, shout out her because I mean she was doing some badass stuff
at 11. Imagine that. Yeah. And they handed a script like, hey, but you're the star. You're like, okay, great.
But
I'm gonna go eat a Lunchable right now. Like,
yeah, I'm 11.
That's nuts.
What's going on? But I think there's a certain, like, to say that Kevin James, like, did great is, like, I mean, he didn't do anything wrong, but, I mean, he's got a whole ass swastika on his head. Like, he's just legit swastika'd up. He's...
How about that scene where he takes off his shirt
and
more Nazi tattoos?
It's
he's got a large chest, dude.
It's crazy, like, because...
For the brotherhood.
Yeah.
And then his homie Apex was like...
I was ready for Apex to take his shirt off, too, then. And I was like, bro, this is going to be scary. Because if you guys don't know, Apex is probably 8 feet tall in this movie. He's just like insanely... Yeah. You said he's a wrestler, right?
Yeah, he used to be a wrestler. He's also done a lot of weird kind of roles where you're like, oh, really? It's that guy?
Yeah.
Like, so if you saw 300, they released the Uber Immortal in 300. And so he's pretty much one of their, like, guys to, like, try to defeat 300. And he's just, like, this awesome, like,
oh, yeah,
ripped up kind of crazy dude where, like, they stab him in his, like, muscle, like, limb. And he just pulls it back out. And he's just, like, killing, like, his own people. Like, they chop his head off pretty much in that movie. But so he's done a lot of those kind of scenes because of his weird stature, you know?
Okay.
And so I thought it was awesome that they put him in to be one of Kevin James's, you know, goons.
Yeah.
You know, little Nazi goons, you know. And, you know, it's so funny, too, because in the movie he's like, you know, Kevin James is like, oh, I wasn't blessed with kids, but I, you know, I got a few strays along the way.
Yeah.
And so it seems like he lucked out with Apex. Like,
yeah.
He definitely got the guy. And the other two dudes were just like trash. They were like,
yeah, they're,
oh, man. Like,
I didn't even think about how bad they were in the movie.
They were like Dumb and Dumber. They felt like Bulk and Scully, like, from Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. Like, they freaking sucked, dude. They didn't do nothing.
They
didn't do anything.
There's a part where one of them, too, like, falls in the water. And, you know, probably, like, you know, where like, a preteen could walk out. And he's like, I can't swim. It's like, just stand up, bro. Like, you're good. Just let the waves take you in a little bit. I mean, it was a lake, but, you know, you'll figure it out.
I mean, he got impaled in the head with a freaking, like a freaking 4x4 with some nails. And just, like, hit him. I mean, that's something that we should really be talking about because in this movie, there is a lot of killing. There is, like, so much killing, so much gore that I didn't think I was going to see that much, you know? And so it kind of reminded me of, like, Home Alone, where, like, you know, like, he's over here doing little traps to, like, kill people. No. Yeah.
That aspect.
Well, not kill people, hurt people. Yeah. But, you know, little Becky, she was definitely going in, you know, murdering these guys.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I mean, she killed the guy with a ruler. You know, she sharped this ruler up and just, like, and not only did she, like, stab him, she, like, impaled him with it, and she started stomping the ruler.
Yeah. And this is, this is a little bit of spoiler. We'll call this a spoiler review. It's a little bit late now.
Oh, yeah, this is, but you guys know. Movie,
so, I think next week we're going to review Run, which comes out on Hulu in a couple days. But for this movie, it's, I mean, I don't feel bad. Like, normally I would never spoil something for you guys. I don't feel bad spoiling this movie because it's not like, it's just, you know what's going to happen. You know, Becky's going to kill everyone. Well, kind of, you know. So, yeah, it's not, I don't want to tell you everything. I'm not going to tell you who makes it to the end, but you know the story. She is going to kill people. That's what's going on. And she does it well.
Kevin James is, he's over here.
He's a Nazi.
Handling it too. Yeah, he's a Nazi.
He's a Nazi.
He's got a plan. He definitely says how long they've planned for this. Because poor little Apex, little spoiler alert. Apex is going through some troubles in his own head.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want to maybe kill kids anymore. So
anymore.
Says, no more kids.
Like, yeah.
Like, what? No kids anymore. So he says like 10 times.
Yeah. Well, because, look, so since we're talking about, he just kills two kids at the beginning of the movie. Now, you don't see it, but it's implied that these kids are dead.
Oh, yeah.
So then when he goes to a house with more kids, he's like, ah, bro,
like, why am I killing kids?
Yeah, we got to stop killing kids. And this is really just a life note. You never want to be first to anything. You never want to be the first two kids to see Apex once he gets out of prison because he'll probably murder you. You don't want to sit in the front row of a comedy club because they're going to talk shit. You know, you don't want to be the first person to get the, you know, COVID vaccine. Maybe. I don't know. I'm not getting political. You know, but I'm just saying, you know, because things, you know, you don't want the first run of the PlayStation 5 because it's probably going to start smoking up or something, you know. And that's the reason I didn't get one. It's not, you know, maybe it's because I tried and tried and couldn't. Whatever. You just don't want to be first is what I'm trying to say. So, yeah, this guy, he grew morals very quickly after these two kids.
He could have just no more.
He could have put him in the trunk. You don't have to kill him.
I think he was saying like no more. I think he said no more babies. Like I think that was.
Well, they were young.
Which makes it so funny.
He's all asking me like, "How old are you? How old are you?"
Yeah, he's like, "No more babies. No more. No more." And he came to Jesus like for the brotherhood. He's like, "Okay, I'm back in."
He's like, "Fine." Yeah, he's. Shoot me in the chest. It's like, all right,
freaking choke slam, poor little Becky. Bro. Just like freaking handles the crap out of whoever was the stunt actrix.
Yeah,
for this Lulu child actress.
She got the shit kicked out of her
hand
by a bunch of just grown ass men. it's insane, bro. But some of the slams were like so funny, and I think part. So overall, I thought this movie. So there's a part of me that thought it was gonna be funny. Because of the actors, even though nothing said it was going to be funny, I was like, oh, where's the comedy, guys? It didn't come. This is what I'll give this movie. It was entertaining. It's a gory movie, and they gore it up. So it is bloody. When she's killing people, she's killing them. And there is a scene with an eye in this movie that is, I mean, it's probably one of the most gruesome eye scenes. And I mean, I've seen Hostel. I've seen all the movies. You know, it's a gruesome ass eye scene. Eyes are rough. You want to keep them in your head at all times. This movie's an hour and 33 minutes long. Shout out that runtime. You know, don't overstay your welcome. If you're a gimmick movie, like we're just going to kill some people, don't be three hours long.
Yeah,
you know,
run that hard.
Run it in. Yeah.
Yeah.
So 20 minutes into the movie, the family was in danger. That's solid. Yeah. Any longer than that, it's like, what's going on with this movie? Why is there so much character development? I know everyone's going to get killed anyway. Just start killing people. So 20 minutes into the movie, they're in danger. It's an hour and a half long. I would say watch Becky. If you like, you know, horror movies, it's not one of the best, but it's worth the, you know, it's like a $3 rental, $4 rental.
$4 rental. It was fun.
Yeah.
It was, I'm definitely going to share it to my dad. He's definitely going to watch it because I've already paid for it. But so like if you were to rate this out of 100, let's say like gummy worms, because I think she likes gummy things.
Yeah.
She's still in gummy things.
I would say this is okay. So I guess this is the first movie we're rating. So it does kind of matter to like set the tone. And if anyone watched the Barstool Pizza reviews, you know that you can't give too high of a score to something like just because it's decent. You know, like 0 to 100, every number matters. You know, so if I'm just like, oh, it was okay. 75, you may say, oh, that's like a, you know, that's an average score, but that's high. 75 is high, you know? And so, you know, this isn't like school, like 50 is failing, you know? So with that said, I'm going to go with the, I would give this movie 57 stolen gummy worms, which were the only gummy worms I saw consumed in this movie, were ones that she stole.
I think you're right on the nose. I was going to give it a solid 61, though.
Okay.
I feel like it's a good 61 because it's definitely a forgettable film, you know?
Yeah.
But I definitely enjoyed it, and it definitely surprised me. There was a lot of scenes where I was like, oh!
Yeah.
Oh! You know, like,
no, for sure.
You know, like, excited, you know? And, and you know, I mean, you know, Joe McHale is such a great actor that, you know, he's solid in anything he does.
I mean, he's fine. He's fine.
So he was.
You're giving a lot of credit for acting in this movie. I don't know.
It's like, oh, I already know what Joe McHale I'm going to get. And then I get it. I'm like, this is why they got him. And it's like Kevin James. It's like, okay, a little serious role with Kevin James.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he handled it, I think. So,
all right,
and so
I mean, like, he was fine.
This is awesome.
Yeah. Everyone was fine. Everyone was just good. They did exactly what they needed to.
And they earned their check for sure.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. And the blood stuff. Shout out to, was cool.
Shout out to my boy Apex because he definitely earned a little
shout
bit.
Shout out
more.
Apex.
He was like, I am not a monster. I am an actor.
Yeah.
No more babies.
He pulls on the heart. If there's any little heartstrings, there might be a moment for Apex. The Madman had some heartstrings pulled. I actually just started laughing when Apex's. Story came full circle, but I'll let you guys witness that, and you can kind of Let us know how you feel. All right, so 50. I just saw that 57 was also the audience score, so now I feel like I stole it subconsciously, but it's what I felt in my heart. All right, well, let's see. I think that kind of wraps up our first show here.
There you go.
There we go. So follow us on Instagram at Screen Champs. We're going to, you know, I mean, we'll put stuff through our normal socials, but we're going to upload stuff there, any content if you want to follow and kind of keep up with the podcast and see what we're doing and when we're doing it. And if you have any questions or comments or anything you want us to look over, watch, talk about, send us an email either at Screen Champs Instagram or screenchampspod@gmail.com. And we can, I mean, you know, especially like the first person that asks us anything, we'll talk about it for like 20 minutes. I don't know. We'll talk about whatever. So, you know, reach out to us. Let us know what you like, what you didn't like. Yeah, I think we're signing off. Until next time, watch more movies.
Watch more movies, please.
There you go. All right, guys.